From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Sacked after 10 days. After a loud, brief tenure at the White House, Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci is out. It's retired General John Kelly's first move as President Trump's new chief of staff. Part of an ongoing saga of Trump White House infighting. Why? And what now? Plus, this hour, we'll look at the slowing pace of American tech jobs being outsourced abroad. This hour on Point, we unpack Scaramucci's firing and look at American jobs staying home. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. First up, what's your take on President Trump's musical chairs of staff? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Washington is Molly Ball, politics writer for The Atlantic. Everybody's been reading Molly on the latest White House moves. Molly Ball, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
What just happened here and why?
Well, I think if we pull back the lens a little bit, we can see this as just one big White House shakeup going back a week and a half to the ouster of Sean Spicer, which, of course, was triggered by Anthony Scaramucci coming in. You know, there's been rumors about a White House shakeup really since day one of the administration. Sean Spicer has often been the focus of those rumors, but it took 6 months for there to actually be a major house cleaning. And, of course, this White House being what it is, it was done in maximally chaotic fashion. There wasn't a sort of clean sweep. There was this domino effect of changes and public feuding and vulgarity and so on. So you had, you know, Anthony Scaramucci coming in, Sean Spicer resigning essentially in protest of that, Brian Priebus then choosing to leave after the rant that Scaramucci unloaded to the New Yorker. And then the biggest surprise of all, I think, after General John Kelly was named chief of staff, Scaramucci, after a brief tenure, and not even, I think, having officially begun his duties on the White House payroll, booted out as well. So the upshot of all this is John Kelly's the new chief of staff. He's in charge. He took this job based on assurances, a condition that he imposed that he would have much more authority than Reince Priebus ever did, that the staff would actually report to him. And he is attempting to impose some discipline. You know, I'm appropriately skeptical about whether that is possible in this environment, but that's what he's going to try to do.
Molly, can we just stick on Scaramucci for a moment, because he came roaring in. He made such a big splash. Spicer out, Reince Priebus out. He was all over the place proclaiming his love for Donald Trump, his loyalty to Donald Trump. He had hand gestures like Donald Trump, we famously saw. And then he was out. How does Donald Trump clearly brought him in and clearly had to sanction him being shown the door? How does Donald Trump explain that to Scaramucci?
I have not been privy to that conversation, if it has occurred, and I don't know that the two men have even spoken. But I think there's a couple of things going on. I think, number one, we know that this president is moody and changes his mind and can make decisions on a whim and is relatively merciless, and that loyalty to him is really a one-way street. He demands extreme loyalty from everyone in his orbit, but he can turn on you in just an instant. I mean, look at the way his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, continues to sort of twist in the wind. And the other thing is that Scaramucci himself is a larger-than-life figure. He really is a loose cannon. He's been orbiting Republican politics for several years now. Reporters know him well. He's known in the donor community and so on. And he's a big personality. And so some of the speculation is that other factions of the White House who wanted Reince out in particular, sort of used Scaramucci as a blunt instrument. Particularly Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are thought to have brought Scaramucci in order to push Priebus out. And then once his utility was accomplished, they didn't need him anymore. Also have heard that the president over the weekend, that at first he did like this tirade that Scaramucci unleashed in that interview, but over the weekend, as he continued to watch some of the reaction to it, and we know that this president is a very avid consumer of the public dialogue, particularly cable television, mention that he gradually soured on the reaction to this and turned against him.
Okay, Priebus is out. You say it's one big shakeup if you step back and look at it. If it's one big shakeup, what's the theme or the complexion of the shakeup? What's the changed character, if there is one, of the White House on the other side of the shakeup?
We don't know for sure, but I would say one big takeaway is that the traditional Republican Party, the Republican establishment, has almost no remaining representatives in the upper ranks of the White House. You know, Donald Trump was never a traditional Republican, and when he first began to run, many Republicans viewed him as an interloper. The rest is history. He sort of engineered a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and used it as the vehicle to win the presidential election. But many Republicans still viewed him as something of an outsider, and he indeed seems to still view himself as an outsider, considering the way he continues to talk about the Republican Party as separate from him and sort of the third person. So, you know, Reince Priebus, who had been the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and Sean Spicer, who had been Reince's right-hand man, they were sort of the establishment guys in the White House. They were the link to the congressional leadership, particularly House Speaker Paul Ryan, and they represented that conservative, traditional Republican point of view. With them gone, there is a lot of thought that Trump will steer in a different direction policy-wise. Now, I don't know that Trump has steered in any particular direction policy-wise. He's been all over the map, and a lot of Republicans complain that he hasn't articulated a clear vision or given a clear direction. But the only real by the book conservative who's now in the top levels of the White House is Vice President Pence, and maybe some staff at a lower level. So does this mean that Trump is going to go more in the populist direction of a Steve Bannon? Does it mean he's going to go more toward the sort of moderate liberalism of Jared and Ivanka and Gary Cohn, his top advisor? We don't know, but I think that is the consequences that I am interested in, is whether there will be a change in the policy orientation of this White House.
Can you actually picture this White House working along the lines of military chain of command, which General John Kelly is said to favor? I mean, it seems as though there's been all kinds of access all over the place. Ivanka Trump tweeting today, she says, looking forward to serving alongside John Kelly as we work for the American people. Alongside? I mean, what is her status alongside the chief of staff?
Right. Well, technically, Jared and Ivanka are supposed to report to General Kelly, according to the new org chart. But I think you're absolutely right to be skeptical. This is a president who likes to do things himself. He's not a micromanager, but he doesn't delegate. He likes to pick up the phone and chat with whoever he feels like chatting with, whether it's a reporter or a fellow rich person or someone he's known for a long time. And it's very hard to imagine that the sort of environment you describe with military-style discipline. That's certainly what General Kelly's going to try to do. He wants there to be clear lines of authority. He wants to have the authority to make decisions and have them executed. But the problem that Reince Priebus always had, and the problem that anybody around Trump always has, is that you can't rein in the president. You know, he refuses to be controlled. He is his own man, and he makes his decisions on a whim and often on Twitter. And, you know, we saw just last week with the transgender soldier issue where the Pentagon found out about a major change in policy affecting its entire staff. They found out from Twitter. And we're given no further guidance. Even the Department of Homeland Security, when the president announced again on Twitter that General Kelly was going to be the new chief of staff, the Department of Homeland Security that he was leading at the time had not been notified that they were losing their commander.
Yeah, watch out.
And didn't even know who the acting secretary was going to be in his place. So I think he can impose discipline on everybody under Trump, maybe, but you can't impose discipline on President Trump.
That's a pretty big wild card right there. Callers for you, Molly. Troy in Iowa City. Troy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
A quick question. If this is what he does to his friends, when he starts draining the swamp, how will it be?
Is there a draining the swamp angle to this, Molly?
Well, there's a big if embedded in that statement, right? I mean, everybody's got a different idea of what draining the swamp means. Mm-hmm. But if it's about, if it's just about changing the way things are done in Washington, he's already established that, right? He's certainly not going about presidenting the way we're accustomed to, the way a traditional politician would do.
Whether or not that's draining the swamp, I don't know. I mean, a whole lot of Goldman Sachs guys have come in, and it's not exactly
right.
If
draining the swamp is getting rid of the so-called elites and replacing them with non-traditional players or regular people, I don't think you can say that that has happened. It happened. You know, the lobbyists, the insiders are as empowered as ever, even if they're a slightly different cast of characters. But it's interesting to me that people keep thinking that change is just around the corner, that any day now this is going to start to happen, that the president is going to drain the swamp and it's going to happen tomorrow. And you see, you know, he's always talking in terms of, oh, that's coming. It's going to be 2 weeks from now, we're going to get that done. You know, healthcare, we're going to try again tomorrow. And it's always tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. A lot, I think, of people, both regular voters and the Republicans on Capitol Hill who very much want this president to succeed, are starting to lose patience and wonder, when is that day going to come when all of this winning that he promised finally starts happening?
If he, with this move, has broken with the traditional Republican Party, Molly, have they broken with him, or might they? Could we see the president and the congressional Republicans just going in different directions here?
I think that's already starting to happen. I think there was a pretty decisive breaking point last week with the Russia sanctions bill when the House and Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that ties the president's hand in conducting diplomacy. The White House strongly lobbied against it. Republicans in the House and Senate just completely ignored the White House's pleas, passed this bill with a veto-proof majority. Now the president says he's capitulating, he's going to sign it. That, to me, is a sign that the Republicans on the Hill are going to go their own way and basically just tune out the White House.
Trump said, great day yesterday at the White House. Do you see a period of calm coming? Is it chaos every week?
I will never, ever, ever predict a period of calm in this administration. I'll believe that when I see it.
Molly Ball, covering U.S. politics for The Atlantic. Great to have you. Thank you very much for being here, Molly.
Thanks so much, Tom.
When we come back, outsourcing American jobs inside America. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.